Hey guys, it's Ju
and Mo,
and we just want to say that we've noticed our numbers are continuing to climb and we're getting listeners from all over the place. So we see you and we thank you.
And we also wanted to reach out to say, hey, go ahead and follow us on social media. We have Twitter, we have Instagram, and we have Facebook. All of them are at Ju with Mo. So we can kind of build that relationship with you guys. We want to know who you are.
Absolutely. We're extending an olive branch. Feel free to write us with suggestions, topics, ideas, etc. And feel free to leave us reviews on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. so we can continue
getting that recognition.
Absolutely. We're getting that content out to you guys, and we're hoping that we can continue to build on that. So thank you again, and enjoy the episode.
Enjoy the show.
Hottest podcast in the 260, the stuff you should know with Ju and Mo. Go tune in.
I love listening to them. The way they interact, the content, everything's so amazing.
Tapping Tuesdays is fire too.
Always tuning in with Ju and Mo.
Welcome back to the stuff you should know with Ju and Mo. So, first and foremost, how you feeling, Monica?
I'm feeling pretty good. I feel like the topic we're going to talk about is really good, so I'm excited to dive in.
Facts. But before I tell y'all what we're talking about today, because it will be fulfilling a promise that we told y'all we was going to do last season. I saw a post today, just a little, you know, a little appetizer before we dive into the meeting. It made me mad. I was talking to my guys about it earlier, and I thought this was understood. So let me make sure that I'm not tripping. So it was six snacks, right? You got Pringles, Welch's fruit snacks, Reese's Pieces, the little M&M looking ones, not the actual Reese's candy. Animal crackers, Pop-Tarts, and Doritos. And they was asking which one of the snacks, if you had to pick one to go, which one would you vote off?
I thought
for sure, like without question, like animal crackers. We getting animal crackers about it. Like
that's who? What I was gonna say.
What kind of serial killer walks up and be like, yeah, let me get some animal crackers?
Yeah, but they're not the frosted kind, guys.
Yeah, just regular, just like plain, regular one. Dried paper tasting animal crackers.
The frosted one, we'll have a now, problem.
The frosted one's pretty good.
The frosted one would have had Doritos.
Yeah, so then I'm glad you said that, because that's what I saw a lot of people picking. So the Doritos were the blue Cool Ranch Doritos, and me personally, that's my favorite one. But
whatever. I like spicy nachos.
Spicy nachos would be fire.
Neither here nor there, but I definitely agree with you. I feel like
getting animal crackers about it.
Yeah, because I feel like animal crackers is like when you went to daycare. If you went to daycare growing up, when they gave you little afternoon snacks, when they gave us animal crackers, it was because it was like the last thing
literally
that they had, and it's like, oh, they have to go, you know, restock on this fruit snacks or whatever else. But I did not like that.
I told my guys this. We all, in the area we used to live, we used to go to the corner store all the time. We would get all kind of snacks, right? Someday you're in the mood for this. Someday you're in the mood for that. But one thing I ain't never seen nobody go to the store and get was some animal crackers. I've never seen nobody.
I was just about to say, I've never seen anyone
never
buy,
see anybody buy animal crackers.
The only person I've seen buy animal crackers is like older people. Like, I know mom buy them. My aunties buy them. That's how we have them in the house. But do we want them? No. And they come in that big bag. And it's just kind of like,
Then you might as well ball up some paper and eat it, because that's about how dry them animal crackers gonna be. So I'm glad we on the same page with that. That was like that was gonna be a deal breaker for me. You had to pick
whatever.
All right. So what I told you guys last season, I don't know if you remember, during our communication series, well, it's going to be a series. I told everybody last season that we were gonna do more than one episode of it. You know, because it was such a broad topic and there was so many different ways that we could go in it. I was like, hey, you know, we're gonna do maybe three or four episodes about it. Well, we're here to do the second part of our communication series today. So we're going to dive in a little deeper. I know the last one was kind of surface level. And we're going to talk about how you have those difficult discussions with people, right?
Yes.
So, you know, everybody's great at communicating when stuff is going good. But what about those discussions where it's like, ooh, I don't know if I want to say this because it may hurt their ego. Yeah. So that's what we got today. And I'm sure the first one is going to be why everybody's clicking on this episode. So we're going to dive straight into it. The first touchy topic that we're going to talk about in terms of communicating is sex, right? So with your spouse, say your husband or wife, whatever, is not so satisfied with the sex, or maybe there's something in particular that they want you to do differently, or something that they would like you to do more of, or whatever the case is. How do you bring up that particular issue without hurting the other person's ego or making the other person feel like you don't like their sex or whatever. Because this is usually a topic where people's feelings get hurt. You know, folks don't want to talk about.
Right.
Especially my guys. You know, we ain't trying to hear none of that. Don't tell me nothing I did bad.
Right.
Hercules, Hercules. So I'm going to let you go first, Monica. How do you go about.
I mean, I'm kind of a let me know type of person myself, mm-hmm. Which I know that I can come off insensitive to others because mm-hmm. a lot of people aren't like that. But I would just rather the person tell me, like, so I can improve, or, you know, I would hope the other person receive the feedback the way I would receive it. Because mm-hmm. if I'm talking to you and telling you ways that we can improve, obviously it's going to help us in the long run to have a healthy, you know, mm-hmm. sexual relationship.
So what if the other person thinks they killing it, though? Like, you can tell by their energy, like, yeah, you know, I just put that, you know, I just beat that thing down. And then you hit them with that and they get all offended and stuff. How is that going to affect you in the future, though? Are you going to be more timid to tell them stuff?
Well, that person, I probably couldn't be in a relationship with them, because that lets me know that anytime that we're talking about something that they can grow from or improve on, mm-hmm. they're going to be hard-headed about it. So I right. feel like, I don't know, that would probably be a deal breaker for me, because if mm-hmm. I'm telling you about something and you're not receiving it, I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe you need to go ahead and go to the next person. And see if they, you know, since you're not going to change and, you know, like, improve yourself, because why would your person tell you, like, what good would it do for a person to be like, I'm going to just say you trash.
Yeah. I guess you got a point. I think it's just because egos get so big when it comes to sex. Like, when it comes to sex, egos are so big because, especially for guys, we're taught almost subconsciously to already know what we're doing, right? So, like, for a dude, traditionally growing up, like, what you hear makes a dude a man is how many women he can sleep with, how many women, and, you know, for people that go into a little deeper, how many women he can sleep well with, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be that dude that she telling her friends about, her friends telling her friends about, so like they already expecting you to have, like, yeah, he got it. People never talk about, like, the process of how to get better at it, or you know what it is that women are looking for. More like, you know, we all tell each other, like, yeah, you just gotta go in, you gotta beat that thing down, long and strong, big fella, like, that's it. So I could definitely understand, like, I see it on social media all the time. That's why I keep bringing dudes into the picture. Like, we usually the ones that's not receptive to feedback a lot.
Yeah, you usually are. And it's so funny. It kind of reminds me of that episode that we watched of Girlfriends, where the dude, he was a whole sex addict.
Yeah.
He, you know, he smashed a whole lot of women.
So everybody assumed he was good.
Yeah, but the thing is, he wasn't bad. It was just that he just didn't do any foreplay. Like,
so my guy wasn't intimate with the sex at all.
Yeah, he wasn't intimate with it at all. And then on top of that, they call him the Bam Bam Man, I think.
Yeah, wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
He was just bam bam bam, nothing else. So I feel like...
But that's a good example, though, because remember, she tried to tell him about it. And, like, that discussion right there didn't go really good for... What's the girl's name? Joan. Yeah.
It was awkward, but I feel like he still was receptive, because the next time they did it, you know, she was like, yes, that was...
Right.
That
but was you see how she tried to... So, like, instead of, like, being direct about it, how she kind of tried to teeter-totter around what she wanted rather than just being direct. Like, saying, like, hey, this is my issue. This is, you know, this is what I would like more. She kind of said, well, you know, would you like to, you know, kind of...
Yeah. But then it got to a point where he was, like, seeing where she was going,
because,
like,
she was being weird. She was beating she was beating around the bush.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it's good to just tell a person, like, hey, do you mind if I be honest with you? I know you didn't ask me about this or ask me for my feedback, but since this is something that me and you are doing together, you know, hey, this is what I want to tell you. And I also think it's okay to, while you're having sex, to communicate during it, you know, to kind of be like, hey, go a little slower, go a little faster, or do this, or hey, can you do that, can you do that, you know, that kind of opens, you know, up the whole, the mood.
I think it makes you feel less comfortable. Yeah, because, I mean, that's what it's all about. So, like, society has made it to where, you know, men are, you know, we're supposed to already kind of be taught to know what we're doing, and women are kind of supposed to just sit there and receive, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get away from the fact that it's a mutual act, right? So being able to communicate with each other. Think about any sport that you play where you got to synergize with somebody else. You have to talk to them.
Right.
So, like, me playing basketball, one thing that I was always taught was a quiet defense is a bad defense. So defense, you talking. Hey, you know, I got this, I got this. You know, I'm going here, watch baseline, blah, 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 blah. Sex is the same way, right? Because you have certain things that you need to get done, certain things that you need to accomplish. And if you don't communicate them, how can you expect somebody to fulfill those desires?
Right.
So I would say... Good nugget. I like how you brought that up. One thing I would say is just make sure that you understand that you guys are both participating, right? You guys are both participants in it. So if one person has a suggestion or a complaint, then you got to understand it's for the betterment of what y'all are doing because y'all are together.
Yeah.
You know?
And who wants to, like, one thing I don't understand, like, I mean, I guess it's all about ego, but, like, this is for our men. Why I get so offended when it's like, wouldn't it make you feel even more better if...
you kill me with the more better thing. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Wouldn't it even make you feel better if your partner enjoyed it? You know what I'm saying? Rather than just not saying anything and just, you know, taking it, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like in the long run, it's gonna help you out. Period. So why get? But I guess everybody wants to be first place already,
right?
So you don't want to run that race.
But that, I think that's what a lot of people think. Like they already taught to be like you're supposed to already be good. So now, essentially, instead of you, like say your complaint was, you know, I would like for you to talk to me more. Instead of them hearing, I would like for you to talk to me more, I think a lot of dudes are going to hear, yeah, you're not as good as you think you are. Mm-hmm. That's immediately what they heard. Like they completely walled out. So there's. In psychology, there's a study called John Gottman's Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That's the third one. It's called, I think it's the third or the second one. It's called defensiveness. Mm-hmm. So what defensiveness is basically, it's not that the person is telling you something bad. Mm-hmm. Because one of the first ones was complaining, talking about, you know, it's always criticizing you, I think it what it is. But defensiveness is when somebody's giving you an honest complaint and it's okay, like there's a reasonable complaint and you just don't receive it well. Instead, you get defensive and you play the victim and blah, 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 blah. Right. And I think a lot of dudes are going to go straight to that one.
Yeah, can't take criticism.
Because they, you know what I'm saying, they subconsciously already taught, like, hey, you know, I ain't never had no complaints before.
Yeah.
I was supposed to be, you know, I'm already supposed to be King Kong. Don't come trying to tell me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You want me to do this more? Like, who you think you are?
Yeah, and then they might start passing the blame. Like, maybe you're weird. Maybe something's wrong with you. Rather than just, like, realizing, like, hey, maybe, you know, they were quiet because this is an awkward subject to talk about.
Yeah.
This girl I'm with, she cares enough to be like, hey, let's fix this so we can both be happy. And then I find it so funny. It was another point I was going to bring up. I find it funny because it's like... Women, like, it's not like, I know we're talking about men and how
we're talking about both people. I just know this one particularly hits home with men.
I wanted to change and put our spotlight on women.
Okay,
some women, they're weird. Like, I have countless of conversations. Yeah, I had countless of conversations of girls saying that they wouldn't want to date like a virgin because they feel like they don't know what they were doing. But I just feel like you can't have that. That also adds on to the narrative of men feeling like, you know, I'm not good. You know, I have to be good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, like, that was what a lot of guys got ridiculed for from both men and women. It's like, are you still a virgin? Like, what? What's wrong with you?
You don't know what you're doing. But I feel like you can't do that because, for one, I feel like it's a beautiful thing if, you know, you do find a man who didn't do anything yet and then you're still learning too because you guys can communicate better. Maybe that's the whole problem. I think, right then and there.
That's where the problem came from, because obviously if neither one of y'all are experienced, you wouldn't expect the other one to be experienced. So I don't think your ego would be in the way. But when you already have, and that's obviously, I think this is why God was in his bag when he said, hey, you know, one man, one woman, you know, save yourself for marriage. Because literally that puts your own ego in the way.
Yeah,
so like there's no expectation of the other person. Yeah, exactly. You got to unteach yourself something that you already know. And for anybody that plays sports, you know, trying to unteach yourself something that you already had learned and then built into muscle memory is hard as heck. Like I caught myself trying to play golf and I never took golf lessons. So I go out there and I already have like this routine swing that I do. And recently I've been like learning little tips and stuff from people to actually play. And now trying to incorporate that into this swing that I already know.
Right.
It's harder to do than just learning how to do it, you know? So I definitely agree with that.
I think that's the big problem. Like I feel like we really found the problem of why people are unsatisfied and why some people are, they can't take criticism when it comes to
the ego in the way.
Ego and it's expectations that don't need to be there. Because when you're with someone, it's almost like you never see someone. Well, I guess so. Yeah, I can't use that as a paraphrase because we do that too. But it's just wrong in a relationship. You can't sit there and compare or you can't expect
How you worded this so good though, because that's how I registered in my head when I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's how I registered in my head. So I will say the two nuggets specifically for sure for the sex thing. Would you say two things that you need to put aside when you're having a discussion or receiving the discussion about sex is put aside your ego and expectations?
Yeah. Because that's a huge thing. And I feel like usually when people are talking, just like you said, guys want women to go to their friends and be like, yeah, he's good.
That
he's
boy
good.
Put it that way. Boy, the boy beat exactly. the thing down.
And, you know, that's the expectation that a lot of men have. And, like, I could say the same for women. Like, we want.
Yeah, y'all are already supposed to be Miss Leaky yeah, Fawcett.
You know, Miss WAP and all this, all the yeah. WAP and all this stuff. So I feel like it's just the. The ugly truth about all of that is it's like it's stuff that you have to work on because yeah. you know even with you know it's just stuff you have to work on even with women like I feel like
for sure
you know to be lubricated correctly you have to make sure you have the correct diet because if you don't drink a lot of water
oh people don't talk about that I'm glad you said that people don't talk about that. That's so that's actually an episode that I wanted to do later on this season so okay. we're gonna hold on to that nugget
okay.
because health is actually a huge one and people don't talk about it enough mm-hmm. like everybody has the expectations that you're supposed to be this that and the other and you don't even drink water
right
like little stuff like that so that's a good nugget right. but I'm gonna put that on pause because yeah. we're gonna do a whole episode about that okay, that was cool. really good
yeah,
that's
yeah.
really good
but yeah we'll talk about that later but basically it's a whole bunch of stuff that comes into a healthy mm-hmm. and good sex life and I feel like nobody I don't care like even like people porn stars whoever you're looking up to whatever there nobody has it like you think you have it if you don't sit there and try to learn
right.
your partner and learn yeah. what would make this sex healthy and good right. you know what I mean?
Here's one thing I will say that I am proud of women for doing. I've noticed because statistically they say like women only have like an 11% chance of orgasming mm-hmm. from heterosexual sex because obviously, mm-hmm. you know, traditionally we've been taught to just get in there, beat that thing down and leave. We never really focus on like the intimacy factor or the communication and stuff of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But women have recently been building a more sex positive culture. So a lot of people that I've like gone to school with and like pages that I follow and stuff like that, they're like women you know, respect to this particular topic are all like sex therapists or like sex coaches or, you know, mm-hmm. people talk about this, they talk about that, but they like, they don't just talk about the traditional view on sex. Like they put everything out there. Like what you said about the diet and like talking about communication and intimacy and stuff like that. A lot of women are coming out and speaking up on it. And I think that's good
mm-hmm.
because that's something that men need to hear
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. I think it's a lot of stuff that women need to hear as well that they don't know because traditionally they've been taught to be kind of hush puppies on the subject too. So that's really good.
Yeah.
So the ego and mm-hmm. the expectation, those are two things that we got to put aside when it comes to having a discussion mm-hmm. about sex.
And I also, I know, I don't know if you're wrapping up or not.
No,
you're
good.
You
go
said
ahead.
Something good about sex therapists. Like, I feel like that's not looked upon enough because, like, I was listening to, I think, The Breakfast Club, and they were interviewing Chris Rock, I believe, and he has, like, a communication problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you can say something,
you can say something obvious to him, like if it's a girl and then she's really feeling him and she might be like, oh, you know, you look nice or, you know, obviously flirting with him. And then he'll be like, oh, I do. OK, thank you. And keep mm-hmm. it pushing. And she literally has to tell him like, hey, you know, I like you, like, or hey, let's get it popping. For him to be like, oh, we'll register, like, oh man, you like me.
So he don't pick up on signals.
Yeah,
well at all.
He actually has like, I forgot the social
like communications coach or something.
No, he actually has like a social disease.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can call it a
disorder, maybe.
Disorder, yeah, that's a better way to put it. They actually, you know, confirmed it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him, it was like, oh, well, how does that work when you're like having sex, like in a relationship? He was like, oh man, that plays a big part. He was like, so I go to a mental health therapist and a sex therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our community, of course, we're now getting hit to mental health.
Yeah.
I feel like pretty soon we're going to start getting hit to sexual,
you know, what's that show that we watched on Netflix? That they're starting to make it like more normal and more acceptable to have one and learn about it. What is the name of the show? We watched it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
There's a white dude and he has like a best friend. It's a black dude. They're British.
Big Mouth?
No, not Big Mouth. The real life one, though. What is the name of that show? You know what I'm talking about. I just can't think of it.
Oh, you're talking about...
what is the name? Because it's really good.
It's really good. I forgot.
Dang it, what's the name of that show?
I forgot.
That's going to drive me crazy.
Yeah, but basically it's about... Because they might pick on another...
Sex Education is the name of the show. Literally, that's the name of the show.
So it's about this young dude. We're
y'all got to check it out. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. Just say it like this. Literally, You can tell them.
I was just going to give them like the whole setting. Yeah. It's like a guy, a boy who's in high school. Obviously, it's a lot of hormonal type of things going on.
Kind of like Big Mouth. A lot of teenage kids running around full of.
So he gives someone like some really good advice. And then all of a sudden, they just start coming to him about this sex advice. Like so
he's like a young sex therapist.
Yeah. Now. And his mom happens
to be a real sex therapist.
His mom and dad happens to be like a sex therapist. So he's kind of like, you know, hip to everything. So it's a really good show. If you haven't watched
definitely check it out.
Definitely want to binge watch it. It's really good. But
awesome show.
I feel like that's going to be very, 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 very important in the near future. Because I feel like a lot of people can use it. As for everybody, I feel like Christians, especially because we were taught like, hey, you know, wait until you're married.
So we have to unlearn a lot of stuff that we were taught too. Because I don't think, so first of all, I agree wholeheartedly with wait until you're married. As a Christian myself, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I think what doesn't get talked about enough is the actual topic. So we just tell people, I think, in the church and like Christian households, whatever, I think a lot of people literally just tell their kid, stay away from until you marry, and they don't really talk about it in detail enough. So like what happens is one of two things. The child either grows up really, really curious and they start getting information about sex from the world, which is obviously wrong. And generally, I mean, most of the stuff that you learn from the world or your knucklehead cousin or your uncle from across the street or that kid in PE class is bad information. Or they grow up, I was actually listening to a podcast about this not too long ago, they grow up thinking that sex is a bad thing. So like when they finally do, or if they do get married, they have a hard time
opening up.
Yeah, because they've been trained that way for so long. Yeah,
it's almost like, and I hate, you know, I'm a deep thinker. It's almost like being brought up in a racist household.
Right, and then trying to learn.
And try to relearn everything. How can you, I mean, it's possible, don't get me wrong, but you're.
It's hard.
It's hard. They're going to always have that stigma, like, you know, okay, this, you know.
To the point where it feels weird when you try to be something that you're not.
Exactly. So that's why I think that sex therapists are going to, like, in the next few years, I feel like they're going to.
Booming. I think it's going to be a really booming industry.
It's going to boom because we need it. And if, you know, I just feel like it's.
I mean, she can't say it enough. It's a good one. I agree with you. So I got another one that I think is a hard topic that some people have a hard time bringing up. And I think people will end up staying in relationships or staying with a job or things of this nature because they have a hard time doing it. So the next one I have written down is breakups or like quitting your job. So how do you have those discussions? So I think especially with like breakups, a lot of people will stay in a relationship that they've mentally left for a long time just because they don't want to be the bad guy. So they don't want to be the person to initiate the breakup when it's not, obviously, when it's not cheating. You know, like people are in relationships where this person hasn't cheated on me. I haven't cheated on them, but I'm not happy. They don't communicate well. They don't do this. When I try to tell them, they don't receive it well. They're just personality wise. They're just not it for me. So they want to leave the relationship, but they won't do it because they don't want to initiate the breakup.
Yeah, that's silly.
So how do you feel like you should have that conversation?
I feel like...
Or at least get comfortable enough to say it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm all for... Like, when you're dating, I feel like if you already, like, communicated with that person how you felt on numerous occasions, and they're just blatantly...
Ignoring it,
or, like, don't care, or, like, you feel like it's a like a stone wall that you can't get through, then by all means, go ahead and break it off because you're dating them. And I'm a firm believer. I feel like you shouldn't waste your time. Like, you know, you're wasting years with this person that's not getting it when you, God will literally have something so much better for you, but you just have to close that door and you just have to be done with them. Like, don't answer no text messages, no booty calls, no nothing. Cause I can attest.
Oh, that'll have a lot of people.
I know a lot of women who still will open
still
that door.
Got that door open. Yeah.
Texting back, everything like that. And then you have a good guy that you're just talking to and getting to know, but you have that dude that's not nothing, you know, slapping those cheeks. You know what I'm saying?
She's talking about slapping them cheeks.
So I just feel like you just have to. I just feel like you have to cut them off because you
can't keep getting your cheeks slapped.
You, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but see, somebody's on my heart right now.
Slap them cheeks, brother.
Sis, cut him off. He's not going to change. Let him go.
Slap them cheeks, brother,
and also,
man.
Also, I don't know who needs to hear this, but just because he wasn't, you know, the one for you don't mean that he can't be the one for somebody else. You just got to let him go. He ain't for you. That's all
true.
That matters.
That's so
but,
true.
But I just feel like I'm just a firm believer in doing it. And then back to the job part. Mm-hmm. I feel like if something mentally is not stimulating you, I don't care if it's a job, I don't care if it's a person, bye. You know?
So, I think that's super easy for, so like you have people that have that or they don't, right? Mm-hmm. So like for me, for example, you know me. I'm not the type of person to sit in a situation where I'm uncomfortable for long. Right. Like I don't have any problem leaving. But that's not the case for a lot of people. And I can say that's something that you can learn over time and say that once upon a time I was like that too. So how do you make a person who struggles to be in uncomfortable situations, how do you make them comfortable with that though? Because there's some people that probably know it, like everything that you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know I shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't be in this situation. I know I don't need to be at this job. I know I'm not happy at this job. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not happy in this relationship. But man, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this, though. I don't want to be the one to send this resignation letter in or go talk to my job or just walk out and quit or, you know, break up with this person, break up with this girlfriend, break up with this boyfriend. How do you?
Awkwardness?
Right. How do you? Like, some people are just uncomfortable doing that because, again, it makes them feel like they're the bad guy.
I would say I think that type of person needs to pray and ask God to give them the willpower to, you know, mm-hmm. to make them feel like they have enough strength to do that. Because unfortunately, in life, you're going to need that. There's going
to
be so many
uncomfortable. There's going to be several situations that you're going to have to make that call
on. I can't even, you know, there's been so many, like, and I graduated in 2018 with my workforce, with friendships, with everything, you know. It's been family members, you know, it's been so many uncomfortable situations I've been in. But I will say, once you step up and you say what you need to say, you feel like you've grown.
Now, I think it's that first time.
Yeah.
After that first time, you get more like, I think you get more and more confident doing it every time.
Yeah, you just got to do it. So my advice would be pray and just literally do the first step God tells you to do, because he will definitely direct you to what you need to do. Because story time. Like, the first job that I had, I can honestly say I feel like my boss was like, since I was the youngest one working there, I feel like she tried to pull stuff on me that if I knew what I knew now, I would have been like, that's not okay. You don't need to know all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like now that I've grown, now that I've, you know, because I challenged her at one point, because I remember talking to you, like, you know, you're like, no, if you have the days, she doesn't need to know the reasons. That's literally in the book, you know, so she tried to challenge me on that. Mm-hmm. So when I challenged her, like, you know, well, where does it say where I need to, is there a slot where I need to put the reason down? She's like, no, right. you good.
You take this straight to HR.
Yeah, she tried to, reverse and rebuttal. Mm-hmm. Not rebuttal, but you know what I mean.
Right.
But I thought that was funny. So now in the new position that I'm in now I'm like, bet. Like, I don't have to tell you that. I don't have to tell you this.
Absolutely.
Where does it say that in our handbook? I don't, like, I'm very, like, putting my ducks in a row because these people, they definitely, they're going to make sure everything's in a row for you.
Everybody that's in a position of power that kind of knows the rules will pull the card on you. So for people that don't know, in the workplace environment, whenever you call off, or if you decide to call in sick, or whatever the case may be, if you're just calling off, you're just taking off a regular day, you don't have to explain why. All you need to do is categorize whether this is a sick day or you're not going to make it. You don't have to explain why in email or to your boss or whatever the case is. If you can't make it, you can literally call and be like, hey, I'm not going to make it today. And if your boss continues to kind of like poke and pry at you and say, well, you know, why are you not coming? That's something you can take to HR, because that's a confidentiality.
Especially if you have the days. Like, I had, like,
right. Like, if you have PTO to
I
take off,
so much time.
It doesn't matter why I'm taking off. That means nothing to me. Yeah. Is it approved or not?
Yeah.
If not, I'll just take that L and keep it going.
Right.
But you don't have to explain that stuff to your boss. Yeah. Y'all don't have to continue.
And if they
want to
be petty, I think some of them have this system where they give you strikes. Like, okay, this is your, since you called off unannounced, but you had time, I'm giving you a strike. Okay, bet. Okay, give that to me, because, hey, I needed a day. I needed a mental health
day. Got to take the day off.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I guess I would say a nugget for this part is, always, I guess it's too early to, you know, say a nugget about that.
I think you did say one. I think taking that, building up the confidence to take that first leap will go a long way.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because you'll, like, moving forward when you're in that situation, you'll feel less and less awkward.
And second one I would say is, like, always pay attention to your mental health. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a job. It doesn't matter if it's a boyfriend or whatever.
Peace of
mind
is important.
If you need a day to just, have it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to replace you.
Right.
One thing I've learned if you have to go or something, or they fire you, they're going to replace you. You're replaceable. You know what I'm saying? But you're not replaceable with yourself.
Even if you need a day to just go get your cheeks slapped or go slap some cheeks. Take that day. Nah, in all seriousness, let me stop playing and not say that you should be irresponsible with your time, but you definitely should prioritize like your needs and the things that are important to you, whether you have a family or whatever the case may be. But like sacrificing your happiness for corporations usually doesn't end well. That much I can say that I do agree with Monica on very much.
And I've seen this one post. I'm about to bring it up real fast because I feel like it hits home right now.
I wish I had like some nice little.
It's this post that I think her name is Marsha Barnes, and she's on the Finance Bar or something like that. That's her at name on Instagram, I think. But she made a post saying, "Being financially confident allows you to walk away from unhealthy environments, personally and professionally. Abuse comes in many forms." And then she said, "Financial bullies are real. You become a target because they know you need the money." And I think that's so true, especially with jobs. Like, they would try to challenge you or tell you something because they might be like, "Well, he or she needs this." So, you know.
Oh, I'd have had the, I'm glad you said that. I'd have had somebody pull the holiday pay one on me so many times. Because, you know, they set it up now to where if you do get holiday pay, if you take off the day before or the day after that holiday, you won't get paid for it. So, like, I, you know me, I call off all the time. Like, "Oh, we ain't got to," because I don't care about the money. Right. I'm like, "Oh, we ain't got to be at work this day." Right. Bet. So, I'm going to take this free day and this weekend, and then the next day coming back where I'm supposed to be at work, I'm going to call off that day too. So I'm going to make like a 4 or 5 day weekend. And what I always get hit with is, "Well, you know you won't get your holiday pay if you don't da-da-da-da-da." I'm like, "That's fine.
Yeah.
That's cool." I don't care about the holiday pay. But they'll pull their card to see like, okay, how desperate are you for this money though? How desperate are you for this money though? Because if they start sniffing it, oh, okay, they'll do anything for some change. Now all of a sudden you're getting these overtime calls and all this stuff like that. Like, nah, bruh.
Yep, that's exactly how I agree with that.
That's a good. That's really good.
Yeah, like nobody over here stressing about money. We good. You got it. Like, we have savings accounts. You good? I could miss a whole few months, a few.
But a part of that though, guys, don't miss this. Don't not put yourself in a situation to be financially stable to try and look like. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is, in this situation, if you actually aren't financially stable and you do need to go and you do need that money, don't miss out on the opportunity to make it. You still do need to be financially responsible. But don't be so desperate to the point where they can use it on you. You know what I'm saying? So we're not encouraging irresponsibility by any means.
Right.
Financial responsibility is a huge, huge, huge deal. And that's why, you know, one of our other episodes that we have this season is about credit and financial responsibility and things of those nature, because we definitely encourage that. But the power that comes with it, once you responsible enough to make those decisions, you can you can turn down those requests. That's why they said being
financially confident. You can only be financially confident if you have savings, if you have good credit, if you have, you know
what you're doing.
Streams of income where you can go into the workplace and you could be like, "Yeah, I'm not tripping." Like my new job, like during the midst of COVID, I actually got the job. And then they were like trying to set everything up, and they're like, "Okay, we don't have your background check yet from Kentucky. So either you can start or you can not." And I'm like, "Well, I will not, because, you know, COVID and all the other stuff." And I literally didn't start my job for three or four months. And that's fine. COVID, I wasn't tripping, but like, I wouldn't have been able to do that if we didn't have that.
If we weren't already set up to endure.
Of course I would have to go and like be in the midst of this whole new norm thing. And I think the month after they told me I got it, the job kind of shut down for a little bit. So
that was good.
It's going to be another episode about finances.
Oh, absolutely. We don't have to dive into that too much, but that was really good.
And then I want to talk about, this is kind of, because Julius has everything kind of set up on his phone. So I'm going to kind of, you know,
surprise him a little bit. If you got one you want to add, feel free.
Yeah, so let's talk about communication when it comes to your children. Because we talked about that when we went to our first married couple little get together at the Sharps, you know. And we kind of talked about how people raise their kids and stuff like that. And then one guy, which I honestly, he had me kind of like, "Oh, that's a good point." Like, he was saying, "Why would I whoop you know, my child when they don't even know what's wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So sometimes I think in the Black community especially, it's like, no, you just gonna get an A-whooping.
Oh, we love traumatizing kids.
Yeah, I'm gonna whoop you.
We love traumatizing kids.
I'm gonna whoop you even though you don't know what you're talking about, you two, you three, but you don't know that I'm gonna whoop you.
You're gonna fear me though.
Right.
So, like, my thing with whoopings, because first and foremost, I'll put this out there. I'll tell anybody about it. I am 100% pro-whooping. 1,000% pro-whooping.
Right.
I agree wholeheartedly with spare the rod, spoil the child. However, I do think the rod of correction also comes in many forms. Mm-hmm. So, I think as a parent, that judgment call of when it's time to communicate, when it's time to express what's wrong, or when it's time to build up your child instead of just beating them because you're in control, there are plenty, you're going to have plenty of opportunities for that judgment call to be made. So it's not always about whooping somebody just because I'm your parent, right? So like, for example, let's say, I can't think of a good example off the top of my head. I don't want to send the wrong message. But there are going to be times where I honestly do think communicating would be a better call than just whooping your child because, you know, I had a pappy, I had a mama, you know, I'm your parent. You don't do that to me. You don't do this, you don't do that, whatever. So I think that judgment is really important. That's something that you do have to communicate with your partner about. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, there are going to be several households where people are just getting whooped up on or people not getting whooped up on enough. Mm-hmm. So I think child rearing is a super duper important one. Because, I mean, like I said earlier, with the sports thing, a quiet defense is a bad defense. You got to communicate with your partner.
Yep.
You got to co-parent. You got to communicate with co-parent. You got to communicate with your other parent. Yeah. I didn't want it to mean in the sense that most people say co-parenting. But it is co-parenting.
Yep.
I mean, you have to, that's something that y'all have to work on together. So I don't think just blindly whooping your kids or just allowing your kids to do whatever because you in this super duper new norm where it's not okay to beat your children. Because I work in mental health. So like I work with a lot of people that very much believe that there's never a time where you should spank a child. Like never. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't do it. A lot of the, you know, overly therapeutic stuff can be, I think it can be harmful sometimes. I've seen several instances where not being able to put your foot down causes more harm than good. But I do think always putting your foot down and never explaining literally builds another bully. So
I forgot what he said that made me like, ah, that's a good way to think about that. He said something like, you have to sometimes ask yourself, is your kid doing it because they're scared that you're going to whoop them?
Right.
Or they're not doing it because they know what's wrong? Because once they get out of your house and they in college, or
if they don't, if their mind, if their thought process like, never changed, they still going to do whatever
they
want.
They big and they bigger than you and they feel like you can't, you know, do me like you did me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Will they go back and do what they did because they were scared of you? So when I'm a parent, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna whoop my kid when I feel like it's necessary.
For sure.
But I also believe that my children are gonna be very intelligent, so I feel like I'm gonna be able to communicate with them and let them know, so they'll know, okay, bet, that's wrong, I'm not gonna do that, period.
Right, because you want them to be equipped to handle the world, right? So like, you're not raising your child to be able to just survive in your house. That's what a lot of people don't think about. They don't think about the future. They don't think about, you know, what this child needs to learn for life. You literally just think about, well, you know, I got somebody younger than me now. And since I used to get whooped all the time, my mama used to beat me all the time, it's my turn to be the bully. Now, you never really healed from the trauma that you had previously.
Right.
So, like, a lot of life lessons that your child needs to learn, they're going to end up learning something completely different because you didn't communicate it to them.
Mm-hmm. And what's sad, you can see that with little girls when they have their dolls and they play with the doll's hair and then they be like, stop moving. And literally, they hit the doll. Stop moving. Did you just move? Knowing the doll can't move.
Right.
But they learned
that
from
their
mama.
They just emulated what they saw.
And they're like, I bet, I can't wait to do that. I'm going to do that to my doll. Mm-hmm. So that shit, that says a lot.
Because think about it. So think about it. You getting your hair done as a kid. I said, yeah, that's a good point right there. I ain't gonna lie to you. Little kid sitting down getting their hair yanked on. Because obviously if it's not your head, you don't know how hard or soft you pull on this person's hair or what their pain tolerance is. So to the little kid, it's literally, man, I'm sitting here in pain. So I'm crying because I'm in pain. I'm expressing, this is literally a natural response to pain. And then I got a whooping because I was crying, because mama was yanking on my head. That's like a lose-lose. That's a traumatizing event. I can only imagine. Man, when I did grow my hair out during the first, you know, the early stages of quarantine, I let Monica's sister do my hair one time. And I promise you, bro, I let her braid my hair, bro. And I don't think I ever went back to her to get my hair braided because she was very heavy-handed. I guess apparently I'm tender-headed.
Yeah.
So I wasn't feeling that well at all. But at the end of the day, I was probably doing the same thing that the little kid was doing. Every time she snatched in my head, I'm like, hey, hey, hey. Mm-hmm. You know, ah, that hurt. I stopped. It probably, a 1 to 2 hour hairdo probably took like 3-4 hours because I kept stopping and getting up because I'm like, man, this hurts. This hurts. Now, say I had been a child and gotten a whooping for that, I would have been thoroughly confused.
That's funny.
Like, wow, I'm in pain and you gonna whoop me because I'm in pain. I give you something to cry about. We love that line. Mm-hmm. Like, man, that just makes no sense to me.
Right.
I can agree with that one. But I do, you know, finding that fine line for the sake of edifying, like building up your child is more important than just beating your child for.
Facts.
So that was a really good point. I like that. That was really good.
Thank you.
Another one, and I think we're gonna have to, because I got a lot of stuff written down now that I think about it, we probably gonna have to split this one up into two parts too. Maybe we can do a two-part communication series, because I got a lot of notes on this.
Yeah.
So we'll do one more.
Okay.
And then we'll split it up. Maybe we'll do a season two communication series part two.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one I got is complaints. So, you know how I was talking about the John Gottman's communication, the Four Horsemen of Apocalypse earlier?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of the things that they stress, that John Gottman stresses, if you don't know who he is and you're into psychology and stuff like that, look it up. He does, like, marriage and family therapy and stuff like that. He's really, really, really smart. He really helps people. And he predicts, like, divorce at, like, a 94% clip. Like, dude is amazing. But he talks about complaints versus criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I think is hard to do with partners, I think we see this more commonly when we talk about relationships than anybody, is when your partner has a complaint and you get defensive, like it's criticism, or vice versa, when you think you're just making a normal complaint to your partner and it's a criticism. So the difference between the two is they said that complaints are healthy, right? So let's say situation A, I'm sure Monica can resonate with this one really good. So say I got on my side of the room over there, I got some drawers and some socks.
Mm-hmm.
And some shorts. And Monica says, hey, Julius, can you pick these up? You know, I have a hard time, you know, getting comfortable if the room is dirty. Mm-hmm. That's a complaint. So she said nothing wrong about me at all. She literally said, hey, this is my issue right here. These clothes are dirty and I would like for you to pick them up. Mm-hmm. That is a complaint and it's a perfectly normal complaint.
Yep.
Healthy, right? Right. John Gottman says that that is perfectly acceptable. Now let's do criticism. Same situation. I got some socks, some drawers, and some shorts on the floor. And Monica comes in and says, what is wrong with you? You a nasty, dirty slob. I done told you a million times to pick this stuff up, and you just don't do it. Like, something is seriously wrong with you. That's a criticism.
Right.
Because now the words that she's saying are not about the particular event at all. It's not about the clothes at all.
It's about you.
It's about me.
Yep.
She's criticizing me as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times when people are having an argument with each other, they go from the complaint itself to talking about each other. So say we was talking about, or whatever the case is, a couple gets to argue because the man feel like the woman looked at a man, and yada, yada, yada. Now, instead of saying, like, hey, you know, I don't really like what you did at the table, it's, what's wrong with you? You must be one of them old something. Now they're arguing. They're going back and forth, exchanging jabs with each other.
Mm-hmm.
John Gottman says that this is one of the biggest divorce indicators ever. When the discussions become about each other,
mm-hmm.
and their personalities and things about them instead of the particular instance that was the problem. So in the complaint, literally the clothes were the problem. Not me, not you.
Right.
The clothes were the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But when the problem becomes about two individuals, y'all probably gonna get divorced. So he says that is like one of the ways that he predicts divorce as high as he does.
Wow.
Because if you don't fix complaint, it leads to contempt.
Mm-hmm.
So now you guys can't communicate with each other anymore because you still have the hatred towards each other. It's like, oh my God, here it goes. Like, you don't even feel safe or happy when your partner comes around.
Yeah.
Because you know, if things go bad, y'all gonna start talking bad about each other.
Right.
So.
And what's so sad, I feel like I hear that dialogue from a lot of couples. Like,
oh, that's really common.
You know, growing up, like, you know really what I mean? Common. Mm-hmm. I feel like I hear that, and it's crazy because their relationships definitely end.
And it usually never works out when you hear that stuff happen. Didn't work out,
yeah. So that's really good. It's a good viewpoint, and I agree with him.
Oh, dude is brilliant. I mean, dude is brilliant. And you know me, I'm not quick to give people credit.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, that dude is absolutely brilliant. Because, I mean, it just makes sense. So the way he breaks it up is the type of person that the, so they talk about qualities of a person that gives criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So the type of person that gives criticism, they're also extremely defensive.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody critiques them, or has a complaint about them, they're extremely defensive. They never hear your message at all.
They're not used to that.
Absolutely. They don't receive criticism well at all. They stonewall. So another one of the four horsemen is stonewalling. So literally not hearing nobody out, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. They put up their wall. They're not receptive to feedback at all. Mm-hmm. If you do come at them, they'll start off by being defensive, and then they put up their wall. Then they express contempt because you said something to them, or just contempt for you as a person.
Right.
And they never have complaints. They're the type of people that critique you. They critique you as a person. They're better than you. Mm-hmm. That what is wrong with you? You need to be more like me. How dare you be different than me? So those type of people are, I hate to say it, because boy, do the social media overuse this word, but that's toxic.
Yeah.
It's a really toxic
environment. You know what I think is, that would be so dope. I think that we have like home ec, we have like all these, you know, classes when we're in high school. And
man.
We need a communication class.
I promise
you.
We
need like a
speech class, but we didn't have none of the, like, we didn't have like a psychology class.
Yeah, we need like a criticism class where people can, you know, take criticism.
Proper communication.
I know for a fact, I know like tons of people who can't take criticism.
I don't always take criticism well, to be honest. I don't always take criticism well.
I don't think humans, period, do. So I feel like
because nobody naturally wants to be critiqued.
Yeah,
until they learn that it's positive.
Yeah. But at the same time, what's wrong with criticism if the person is coming
from a good place? When it comes from a good place, it helps make you better.
Yeah. But even like growing up, like when your parents, you know, your parents aren't telling you anything wrong. But once they start telling you like criticism, even though it's healthy, you get instantly annoyed. Like, okay, I know.
I think it's because you take it as criticism instead of a complaint. So criticism itself is not healthy, just to be specific. So from the psychology standpoint, criticism is not healthy, but complaints are.
Oh.
So if your parent has a complaint about something,
we need a complaint class.
Though. Right. That is perfectly fine. Like, hey, Monica, can you straighten up your room? You know, I pay a lot of money for this house. I would like for it to look nice. You never know. We may have guests, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. That's literally a complaint about your room. Like, hey, I would like for you to make the room look better in my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Example B, parent comes in, you just a little nasty little kid. Mm-hmm. You know, you just ungrateful. Y'all just don't know how.
I don't know who raised you.
Like, you would think I didn't raise y'all. I come in here, I go to work, I pay all these bills all the time. You just sit your little ungrateful butt down there and be nasty and stuff like that. And think about how many kids hear this all the time. You just ain't no good. I wish you was like little Bobby from down the street. They don't have no issues like that. You always want to go to their house. Mm-hmm. Their house don't be dirty and you go there. Mm-hmm. Now the kid, you done lowered their child's self-esteem tremendously, heightened their contempt towards you. Mm-hmm. And you didn't communicate nothing worth talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All you came in and said was, you know, I would like to display myself and you. I would like for us to display ourselves as clean people. You know, I think we're very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like for our house to be an example of that. Mm-hmm. Instead, you came in that room and said, hey, you are trash, bro. Like, you suck.
Right.
Every time I come in here, it's bad. You suck.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just looking. When you said that, I was thinking like, what if a girl, like when we be going off on our boyfriends who be cheating and stuff? Mm-hmm. Well, I said ours. Well,
that's
I don't
funny.
Got no boyfriend.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like if they don't say it as like say it like a complaint.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like our relationship would be healthy if you just, you know. I don't even know if they could do it like that, but that'd be funny.
Well, you know, how you just say I use an I statement is actually psychology approved. So using I statements literally softens the blow of whatever you're about to say. You could literally say, hey, bro, you don't wipe your booty be dirty. You could say, well,
I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
You could say something along the lines of like, I feel like it's so much easier to access certain parts of the body with that shower head. Like, I think it's so dope that when you like move the shower head, like you can take it off and you can get behind your knees. You can get in between that booty cheeks. You can get, you know what I'm saying? Have you ever used it? Like, have you ever done that before?
Yes.
And that leads into their conversation. You know what I'm saying? So, like, now the dude be like, I didn't even know that joke. Come on like that. But dude, booty cheek probably glued together. You know what I'm saying? But just little stuff like that, it softens the blow.
That's
right? And
funny.
Saying, like, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Every time you get up, I smell it. Every time. Every time. Like, do you shower? What's wrong with you? You dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You see how that, like, mm-hmm. one is, like, the blow of that is significantly
soft. You're not putting them on the spot. Like, you're more so, like,
you attacking the problem. The problem is not you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's your booty.
Right.
Like, clean your booty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But just, like, anything like that. It could be something that's super gruesome. And I think that goes back to the one that we were saying about sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, it comes from the issue is not you. Mm-hmm. You're not bad. You're not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
You're not lower than. I love, like, obviously, mm-hmm. I have feelings for you. I'm having sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
I just want us to win.
Yeah.
So this is what I want. You know, this is a change I would like to see. I think this change will help us win.
Right.
Now it's not about the person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to try this. I think I really enjoy when we do this. I think we could do this more. Mm-hmm. That statement is better than, you don't ever, you don't do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that in itself will change a lot of people's approaches
I
to
think
like
so too.
Discussions. I'm going to save the rest of them just because I feel like if I do all of the notes that I have on communication, will be this will be talking a 2 hour about, long podcast.
And we'll probably just. Season 2, we maybe will do like a bonus episode.
Absolutely.
To follow this one.
Because, I think this is going to be, this is one of our highest viewed episodes in general. I think people really took what we had to say mm-hmm. from the episode to account. Like, we get, people write us about the content all the time, and that's one of the ones that I've heard about on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So, we're going to put a nail in it right now. We'll come back and get that later, but.
Let's go ahead and go to our regular scheduled stuff.
Yeah.
The good news, entertainment,
absolutely.
And prayer. So, did we do good news?
No, I can do the good news for today.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
The good news, you see how I volunteered mm-hmm. I had something? Mm-hmm. The good news is we are approaching 2,000 downloads on Anchor. Mm-hmm. So, that I think is awesome news. And the good news in the world is it's almost election time, people. So, the good news is, for a lot of people, we will be able to do like the mail-in ballots. I know that people are pulling some shiesty stuff. They're shutting down a lot of places where you could go and put your ballot in. But the fact of the matter is, we still can do it. Mm-hmm. And we do have a chance to make a change. So whether, I'm not going to go too deep into politics, even though I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast, you know where I stand.
Right.
But, it's almost election time. If, mm-hmm. You want to see that change, really get out there and vote. Really take time to learn what people stand for, the likelihood of any of that actually being able to pass, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. But the good news is, it's almost time. It's almost mm-hmm. time. So that's what I would say I have for good news. Let me see if I got anything else. Good news, good news, good news. Oh, we got a new, should I tell them about the picture? The picture that we got?
Go ahead. So, I don't know if it's already... Yeah, because by the time we'll have our promo
so
videos.
The good news is... and if y'all don't... First of all, shout out to Tara Smith Photography. If I'm saying it wrong, feel free to write us on Instagram, Twitter, mm-hmm. whatever, and let us know. But we have a new graphic design for our season 2 picture. We'll be following the theme. And if you heard the intro to the show, you'll be able to catch on to what the little thing we mm-hmm. had was going on. But basically, shout out to Tara Smith Photography. You can catch her on Instagram.
She's so talented.
Twitter. She's really dope. She's really dope. Mm-hmm. And I think she, the cool thing about her, she has like her own art style that she goes into. And she's very, really good at reaching out to people. Like, you can write her, just like you can write us on mm-hmm. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. You can literally just shoot her a DM. She'll hit you back with some prices. You show her a picture that you want, and she'll get you taken care of. So shout out to that. She got us taken care of, and we literally took what she sent us to Walmart and got a big, gigantic poster of it. So, mm-hmm. shout out to that. Yeah. What you got for us in the entertainment?
Today? Entertainment, I got that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama celebrated 28 years of marriage yesterday. So, I think that's beautiful. I think that in a time where we're going through these petty debates and everything mm-hmm. like that, I always love to put the focus back on the best president that I feel like America has ever had, President Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that he's with a beautiful, intelligent African-American lady. Mm-hmm. So kudos to them.
28 years, that's dope.
Yeah.
Like, even aside from like the presidency stuff, in a world where the divorce rate is literally 50-50, mm-hmm. pretty much, being able to stay married for 28 years, that's amazing. Shout out to them. We're approaching year 2, so... We got a long way to go before we reach there. So that is amazing. That's really dope.
Yeah.
That's really dope. That was really good.
I agree. But
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. Uh-huh. I got to cut you off. Hey, it's almost time, fellas. Speaking of entertainment, that PS5 coming, bro. That PS5 coming, bro. This holiday season, bro. We finna get that PS5, bro. And you been doing what you supposed to do, bro. She gonna get that PS5, bro.
Yeah. He's going to be so sad when I wrap up this PS3 and this PS2 together and say PS5.
He don't stop playing with me.
But you know what's funny? I was going to say, for the other entertainment, anybody that's hit to our show, you know that I hate video games because Julius loves them so much and he spends his time on them.
I think I know what you're finna say.
So it's this one game that he actually got me playing. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
We're not sponsored by them, by the way.
We're not sponsored yet.
But it's really dope.
It's called Among Us.
Dope game. Really dope game.
So cool. And I feel like they got really smart this session that we played. Mm-hmm. His friends, we all were on like FaceTime and we mm-hmm. was like talking, because if you see any of the funny videos, you know, if you play online, you get to hear like the live
It's more fun to play with a group chat. So
yeah,
to break it down for people that
don't
visualize it.
Right.
It's a social deduction game and it's really fun. So basically there's one, two or three people. There's going to be the killer depending on how you set up the lobby. It's really flexible. You can make it however you want to do, but up to 10 people can be in a party. And you have these tasks that you need to do while one person is going around killing people. And you can call a meeting to vote on who you think the killer is. Mm-hmm. Very simple game to play. Very fun. And you can do like a group chat if you're playing it on phone. Or if you're playing on PC, you can literally just hook up a microphone and get a chat going. Mm-hmm. And it's something super fun to play. You can play it with your significant other. You play with your friends. Get a group going. Just really fun game. It's not one of those high stick ability games. Like, you don't need to be able to know how to jump, do a 360 and snipe somebody in the back of the head, or play Madden or something like that. You literally just take a guess at who you think is going, you know, who you think is the killer, and you watch what they're doing. You're suspicious of people. It's really fun. It's like one of those card games that you play, like Mafia, Killer, mm-hmm. etc. Really fun, really dope game.
Yep.
So definitely check that out.
Yep.
Anything else?
Let's talk about Fenty and the fact that Rihanna has.
You got to school me on that. I've seen a lot of people talking about Fenty boxers. What's that about?
So she came out with, you know, she had the Fenty lingerie for like since 2018 or 2019. Uh-huh. So she came out with like men apparel, you mm-hmm. know, where you guys have, I think it's like boxers, it might be some pajama pants, mm-hmm. and they're supposed to feel really nice and they look really good, and she made it for all sizes. So you got your big and talls, you got your skinny and littles, whatever you want to call them.
Whatever shape you come
in. Right, whatever shape you come in, Rihanna has you covered. And we're not sponsored by her yet.
Man, we're speaking it into existence,
yes,
though.
Yes, we are, but I've been using her skin line, mm-hmm. Fenty Skin. And when I say, I think today, because it's Sunday, it makes it a whole week. And you've been feeling my skin. It's
facts.
Been feeling
really
good.
So I will say, like, this, her face has been, like, noticeably soft, like, noticeably shiny and supple. So I will say they've done a really good job with that.
But that's all I have.
Okay. So if we don't have anything else, I'll go ahead and pray us out. If you're not driving in the car or doing something dangerous, please bow your head and close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly as ever, thanking you yet again for another day to use this platform to reach out to people and perhaps share a message that they may need to hear. We know there's someone somewhere who really listens to this podcast and really enjoys it. We just pray that you continue to keep everyone in good health. We see what you do. We love what you do. Thank you for being who you are. And for the people that are interested in speaking with us, tell them that we present ourselves friendly. So in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
Amen.
As always, thank you for listening to us. Check us out on Jew with Mo at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, pretty much anywhere where you can find us. Write us. We're very, the dope thing that we do is we both have access to it. So one day Mo might write you back. One day I might write you back. But we're really good about interacting with our listeners. So we appreciate you guys. As always, we'll catch you same time next week.